benedictions provided for those who particular worship in a particular method of worship. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also that he says that he gives every person faith. He makes his faith steady so that he can worship a particular demigod to achieve his boon, achieve his benediction. So someone may have faith. That faith is coming from Krishna within their heart. But what is the ultimate goal? It's not some temporary goal. If one is looking for the Brahma sphere, he must understand who can give me the Brahma sphere. He must understand, actually, only the Supreme Lord, Krishna, can actually give me. So, therefore, in establishing the goal, if we establish the goal, then we just follow the path. Mahajana Yenagatasa Panta is explained in the Mahabharata. There's one verse that describes that there are many different conclusions that one can create in the scripture. And sometimes it is found that many sages will sit amongst themselves and discuss different opinions or different conclusions. So therefore it is stated that the solid truth of religious principles can be found in the heart of an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Therefore one must Mahajano Yenikata Sapanta. He must follow the path which is established by the Mahajans. Great. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. You're going to stay for the rest of the evening? Oh, you're going to leave now. Huh. Is this your first time participating in our functions? Moscow. You're living here in Moscow?
Now you're living.
You wouldn't believe it in India also. I go to India and tell them it happened something like that.
It's not a matter of 1,500 people come.
In Moscow.
In Moscow.
No. There must be more. There must be more.
I think actually there must be more because it's 2,500 seats in the auditorium.
So ultimately, like if I want to be the member of ISKCON, what should be my first step?
Well, there's all different degrees of membership.
Because I don't know where the offices, where the temples are. Uh-huh. I really don't know anything about it. Uh-huh. One of my friends came to me. He's working with me. He came to me. There's a Janmashtami celebrations today at the center. So he was alone. So we three boys came with him. And we all enjoyed it. It's not a matter of enjoying. I mean, the satisfaction I got, I don't think anybody has got it here. Out of those 1,500 person, I don't think.
Well, it sounds like it has a pretty profound impact on you.
Because my mind was just blurting out. It was just not set.
We're looking for some fix, something to fix the mind. That's
I mean, I was going to make a sin, a great sin. That is one of the greatest sin in the world. I was going to make it. But I don't know if I have changed my mind or not. But I had an impact on my mind.
You mean that was your plan? Subsequent, after this evening's event, you had some plan to do something?
No, not today.
Oh.
But in future, some plan. When I go to India, then what I will do, what I can do. Mm-hmm. Because I can't tell you in words what is the problem with me. It's just the greatest problem I have ever seen, I have ever met with. And I just couldn't believe it when I came to Moscow. For business purpose, I came here. When I came here, it was not at all like that. And when I rang her, just 2 days back, I got the news. And just my mind was burst out. I don't know how to do. I mean, it's my personal need. So for a personal need, a person can do anything. But when a person is groovy.
Person is?
Groovy.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
goofy.
Yeah. But I don't know what I will do.
Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita.
That is the same situation with me. I can't do that. What I can't do, what I should not do. Which I shouldn't do, I want to do that. Which I can't do, I can't do. I can do that.
What can't you do?
which the thing, the sin which I don't want to do, I will have to do.
No, you don't. I don't know. Actually, that's just like Arjuna asked Krishna. He says, "What is it that compels a person to act sometimes, even if it's against his own will?" He was asking that particular question. So what is it that drives a person compulsively to act in a particular way?
Because a person lives for himself only, for his best opportunity.
That's what Krishna says. Krishna says it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world.
Yeah.
It is that lust. That lust is the actual perversion of that original love for God. It has simply been transformed into lust. So now we have to restore that lust back to its original state, which is love. So it's that lust, that desire to do something for myself, to enjoy myself, to see myself independent from God.
It is to see me
as the center of the universe, and everything that evolves around me becomes the objects for my exploitation. Becomes those things which are meant to gratify my needs.
Yeah.
But
killing someone is a sin.
Yes.
Then?
It's the greatest
sin. It is the greatest sin.
Yeah.
No sin is much more than death. And I'm going to commit that sin. Because I don't have any other way. I will try my best. But if I don't have any other way to fulfill my need, I will do that.
But there is another way to fulfill your need. That's the point of the reason.
I will do that. Up to the last point, I'll try that. But if that won't happen, then...
Up to the last point, but you should start now.
I'll go to India.
You'll go to India?
Yeah, surely I'm going to India within a week. Uh-huh. And then I'll make some arrangements if I can make my life even better. Because I can't tolerate myself to lead that worse life. Because something in my heart, like, I never did anything wrong to any other person. I never did. Every time in my life I have helped all the people, all the friends, all the persons I've ever met, without anything thinking about me. It will benefit me if I help them or not. I never thought that if I help you, I will get any benefit. But since then, why is this? I'm into a sort of chakravyuh. Here I came for a business. It's not working on. It's not going on properly. Why it's only with me it's going on? And then in my personal life, a disaster has occurred. So why only with me? So why should I believe in God? Why I'm believing in God? Since then, everything is going against me.
Yeah, but why is it only you? Again, that's the same mentality. I'm the cynosure. I'm the center of the universe. Why is it that you're thinking it's only you?
It's happening with me. Everything is going
I know,
opposite
why,
to me.
But why is it? Why are you thinking that it's only you?
Because a person had to think about himself.
I know, but it's everybody. Everybody's having to face the same sequence.
Because, you know, in practical and theory, in both the life, a theoretical life is something different. And when it comes to practical, one has to bear it. If one has to bear the difficulties on himself, a burden on himself, then he has to.
And he has to understand why is it?
He has to
understand why is it that it's happening.
Because maybe your friends, your parents won't be understanding.
No, but
you have to. We have to
go beyond the externals. We have to understand why is it happening? Why are these things happening to me?
I don't know why.
Well, that's the point that I'm trying to address upon you. Those are the questions that need to be answered. Why is it happening? What are the circumstances? And then if one actually studies this philosophy and begins to understand that actually any source of suffering that has manifested itself in this life as a result of one's previous actions. If he sees that, if he knows that he's suffering a lot in his life as a result of his previous activities, he doesn't look for secondary sources of his suffering. He goes beyond it. That's our tendency in this world. Our tendency, because of that limited understanding, our tendency is to project upon others and to cause them to see them as sources of our own suffering. And of course, that breeds a kind of vengeful mentality that oftentimes exists in people. That's why this is the age of Kali, the age of quarrel, where slight provocation will ignite a fight, a battle, a war, even. Why? Why is that? because one of the symptoms of the age of Kali is people's minds are very disturbed. Rayana Payusa Sabya Kulabas Mungajana Manda Sumanda Matayo Matabhaya Parita. In this iron age of Kali, men are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, they're always disturbed. So disturbed that a slight provocation can create that kind of a reaction. And so because considering the prevailing consciousness that exists in Kali Yuga, the disturbances of the mind, therefore it's no wonder that people are possessed with this mentality of fighting with one another, killing one another, killing themselves. Atmahat, practically speaking, there are so many people that are killing themselves. So much violence. But why is that? Because they're not understanding the root cause of their sufferings. They don't understand what is the actual root cause of their sufferings, and therefore they blame others for their suffering. But the root cause of the suffering has to be understood in terms of one's own past activities that have been committed in a previous life, which Krishna assures in the Bhagavad Gita that sarva dhamma puritsa jam amakam sananam vraja hantam sarva papi vokuma mokshashami mahasuchaha. If you abandon all the varieties of religion, you surrender to me, I'll deliver you from all of those sinful reactions. Mahasuchaha, don't fear. All those reactions that one has accumulated in this life, from all of one's previous lives, stored up. Some of them are manifesting themselves now. Some of them are still lying as seeds. They're waiting to fructify. You haven't even experienced everything in this life which you could possibly experience in the form of pain or pleasure. They're still lying there as seeds waiting to fructify in the future. So both now you're experiencing, and again, and more so in the future, they will come to bear fruit. But Krishna says, all of those, you surrender to me, all of those who can be delivered. Do not fear. One actually has to look for the solution. And any other act performed on that relative mentality without bearing the responsibility for his own suffering is not a solution. It is only increasing the problems of life.
I know it is increasing.
Perpetuating the problems of life.
But for the time being, what should I do? What should a person should do to get himself out of the problem.
On the other hand,
the problems are increasing.
No, it appears the problems are increasing. Yes, it may appear that way. But actually, if he actually wants to get himself out from the problems, he has to know how to become delivered from the problems. How to get free. Therefore, I quoted, Krishna says, if you surrender to me, says, sarva dhamma, all religions, sarva dhamma puritsaja, abandon all religions. Why does he say abandon all religions? Some might say, well, why does Krishna say give up religion? Because the perfection, the goal of religion is to surrender to God, is to serve God, is to render service to the Supreme. That is the perfection, that is the goal. One engages in the service of the Lord, then he comes freed from the reactions of all past and full life. There are different types of activities, and any activity which is not rendered for the satisfaction of the Lord will produce some reaction. That is called karma. There's karma, there's vikarma, there's akarma. Karma means some pious act.
Positive act.
It's a positive act, but it produces only some pious result, like elevation to the heavenly planets. Mm. Some pious result. It's karma.
And akarma, it is a discipline.
Akarma means no reaction. Mm. There's no reaction whatsoever. No, when there's no reaction, when one actually continues to purify his existence without any more reactions, when he no longer has any more reactions, that means he no longer needs to be embodied. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to take his birth again.
And the worst thing is vikarma.
Vikarma is sinful activities. By performances of vikarma, one actually prepares himself for perpetual hell. Krishna says, such persons, they glide down into hellish conditions of life.
No, I know some days ago I think I was one of the most happier person on the world, in the world. Because my mentality was like that. I have something to follow, that what is happening is only for good. Whatever is happening, it's for good. Maybe the future results will be good. If I think that on that line, I'm always happier. But there are some situations which are going worst and which are going against me. And I know that the result will not be the best for me. It will make only my heart weaker, myself weaker, my strength weaker.
So you have to know how to be able to sever your connection with those things.
I don't know.
Therefore, one actually has to have a superior connection. If one actually establishes the superior connection, then severing the inferior connections is not something that's very difficult. But without the superior connection, it's impossible. It's like a child might be attracted to playing with a knife. It's a very dangerous affair for a child. Try to take the knife away from the child. What happens? More dangerous, because the child will resist. So what do you do? So you don't, instead of trying to take the knife away from the child, you give the child something very much attractive and appealing, a nice colorful toy. So if the child reaches out to take the toy, you no longer have a very disturbing, it's not no longer very disturbing in order to protect the child. Because why? Because the child, he drops the knife to take what you're offering him. It's not very difficult. He's no longer in danger. He severs his connection with those things because he's taking that which is superior. So, but without establishing that superior connection, it's impossible to sever one's connections with those things. We're caught up. We're entangled in a network of reactions.
Yeah, when we are living into the in this world, we have relations with other persons also.
Yes.
And we are all related to each other by some mean or another. And if you are going bad to another, it will be bad to you. It will come back to you.
It will come back to you.
Like a ball thrown on the wall, you throw the ball and it will come back to you.
Yeah.
It's something like that. But to solve the problem,
establish the superior connection.
How?
Well, I'm trying to give you that understanding.
But just by praying?
No, just prayer alone. One actually has to transform his life. Just like it is stated in the Bhagavatam, there's one example that Narada Muni gives to Vyasadeva. He says, there's not a thing which is therapeutically applied cure that which was caused by the very same thing. It gives an example. The example is given, just like a person, he may become extremely ill, sick, have ill effects as a result of taking too much milk. Okay. But the cure is a transformation of that milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, but therapeutically applied. That which causes his disease cures his disease also, when therapeutically applied. The same way, that which has caused our entanglement in this world, that which has caused our attachment, which has caused the reactions to sinful life. We have to learn how to change, transform our lives, to change our lives. Learn how to work in this world, to be within this world, but how to transform it in such a way that we become disentangled from the reactions to past sinful life. It is not a question of just prayer. It requires action. One must have to learn how to work.
According to that.
And religion is not simply something to sit around in an armchair and simply speculate about, but to theorize about. It's a practical way of life. One actually has to embrace the teachings of the philosophy of God, and so it becomes his way of life in everything that he does. And that's what Krishna teaches him about everything. How to therapeutically apply that which has caused all of our suffering.
No, some of the Gita Upadesh I've heard, I have read, and sometimes I do work according to them. But if a person, if everybody believes in that, those teachings, so a day will come that he'll be a beggar.
A beggar?
A beggar. Because in those lines, Krishna states that when you were born, you didn't bring anything with you. And when you will go, you will not take anything with you.
Yes.
But
even though Jesus Christ taught that nobody can enter into the kingdom of God unless he's...
No, that's the... I know that's the right. But for a period of 50 years, if a person is living... If all those 50 years he's thinking on that way, I didn't bring anything and I won't take anything.
No,
so he just won't be doing anything, just sitting on the chair.
No, that's not a fact. One has to work.
One has to work.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, all living beings must work. But he must... Anashrita kama palam karya kama karotiya. He says, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work, works as he is obligated. He is in the renounced order of life. And he's the true mystic. He's renounced. the devotees in Krishna consciousness, they understand that they must work. Not that they become inactive and lazy people, to become simply some sycophants, some social parasites. But actually they work. They're not attached to the fruits of the work. They work as they're obligated. But by one's work, a person can accept everything that he needs for maintaining body and soul together. He can accept whatever is required for maintaining body and soul, so that he can live happily, comfortably in this world. But because he understands the goal of his work, the fruits of his work are meant to be offered for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, then he not only does he accept the basic necessities of life to live in this world, but he also achieves the ultimate goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the goal. The goal of life is not to become comfortable in this world. This is not our permanent residence. So any society, any civilization which does not lead its members on a progressive path to fulfill their economic needs, but simultaneously to make progress to the ultimate goal. And that is what Vedic culture is. Vedic culture means that one can work in this world in such a way that he doesn't have to take another material birth. That's Vedic culture. He works. He's not lazy. He works. He accepts the basic necessities of life. He doesn't collect more than necessary. He knows that if he collects more than necessary just to satisfy the demands of the body, then he'll never be satisfied. It'll be like lust. It'll just simply like burn like fire. It's like trying to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. Try to put out a fire by pouring gasoline, what happens? The flames go down a little bit, momentarily, but then they burst into bigger flames. You can't satisfy.
But as far as killing someone is, it is a sin.
Yes.
It is. So why?
It is a sin when it is done for one's own selfish purposes.
So what was the purpose of Arjun when he killed those
other
people?
That's the whole point. There's a difference between one killing and another killing.
No, I don't know the difference.
But that's what I'm going to explain. Just like a person, for instance, a person might be, he may be in some war, and his government may give him a badge, a medal, because he's killed so many people in battle. So he goes back to his homeland, and he gets into a fight, kills one man. So the police come and they arrest him.
That's a sin.
Okay, and they say, come on, you're going to jail for killing. So he may say, what do you mean go to jail for killing? I just killed one man. You see this medal?
I killed so many in the war.
I killed thousands. Why are you taking me to jail for killing one man? So there's obviously a difference between the killing. One killing is sanctioned, the other killing is not. All those who were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, they went back to the spiritual, I think they achieved their spiritual identities because they were killed in the presence of the Lord. Krishna was present. Therefore, Kurukshetra is called Dharmakshetra.
So who knows that?
Who knows that?
Yeah.
That's right there. It's the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra.
That is written.
Right, first verse of Bhagavad Gita. Number one. First chapter, first verse. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. It's a place of Dharma. Why? Because Krishna was there. We're not interested in a battle. What interest do we have in the battle? Why are we interested in the wars?
Yeah.
But why are we interested in Kurukshetra? Because Krishna was there. And Krishna comes to lighten the burden. Anyone who is the object of Krishna's favor, even or the object of Krishna's anger, this being the object of Krishna, immediately he is benedicted. Because Krishna is equal to everyone. Samaham samabhutishu dame dveshosti napriyaha. I am equal to anyone. I'm not envious of anyone. So when Krishna deals with anyone, even if they're killed by Krishna, they achieve liberation. So everyone is who actually has been dealt with like this. So therefore, Arjuna, he was Krishna's instrument in the battlefield of Krishna, Kurukshetra. It was Krishna's will. He was simply Krishna's instrument to execute Krishna's plan. He came to assemble all the atheistic kings, all those armies, to lighten the burden of the world and to remove the heavy burden of all these atheistic kings. He assembled them all in one place in this battlefield of Kurukshetra, lightened the burden. And then he established Maharaj Yudhisthira as emperor of the world and reestablished religious principles. That was his purpose. Paratanaya sadhanam vinasaya chukuskutam. To deliver those who are devotees to annihilate the disgrace. So that was his will. And Arjuna was an instrument for his will. Therefore, Krishna's whole instructions in the Bhagavad Gita was to teach Arjuna that he had to fight. He had to kill. He he had to take place in this battle. It was his will. Even though his own family members, his teachers, his friends, they were on the opposing side. Didn't make any difference. And then Krishna explained that there's no need to lament for the loss of the body, ultimately. Of course, that was Krishna's will, and Arjuna's participation in that will was required. But not that one simply killed whimsically.
No, one more question in that answer. Krishna says, or we have something like that in Bhagavad Gita, that God gives birth and God gives death. Only God knows when the birth will take place and when the death will take place of that person. Yes, is it right?
Krishna knows, yes. He knows past, present and future. Same Veda Hamsamati Tani, Krishna says, everything. I know everything past, present.
Still also. In this world also.
In this world?
So like if I kill someone, so that means I am his instrument?
No. Because he knows it doesn't
because
mean
because he knows
his,
it
doesn't
he,
mean it's his will. It's like he sanctions it, but it doesn't mean it's his will.
If somebody is going to die, So that means God knows that he will going to die on that day at that time.
Yeah, but it means it's his will.
And if someone kills him, so he becomes an instrument.
No, he doesn't. He's not an instrument for Krishna. How is it he's an instrument of Krishna? He has his own will. He's misused his will. He's acted independently. The living entities have their own will. They have the will to choose. If they didn't have their own will, they couldn't love God. Krishna's given every one of his living entities the will to choose what is right and what is wrong. So if he chooses that which is wrong, how can he claim to be an instrument of Krishna? He's not. He's under the control of the illusory energy, of Krishna's external energy. He's controlled, he must be. He must be controlled. Either he's under the internal energy of Krishna, or he's controlled by Krishna's desire and he's acting according to his will, which is the Daivi Prakriti. Or he's under the influence of Krishna's external energy, the illusory energy. Daivi Yeshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Dirasya. His divine energy of mind consisting of three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But if you surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. Krishna makes a distinction between his external energy and his internal energy. You surrender to me, you can overcome the influence of external energy. But
how to surrender it?
How to surrender? that's the essence of what Krishna's teaching is how to surrender. One actually has to approach Krishna's representative. He must learn actually how to surrender to Krishna. How to devote, how to give his life. That's exactly what Arjuna did to Krishna. He said to Krishna, his kala panya dosho bhata sabhava pachnamitam dhamma sabhuta chaita. Yad shreya shan nishtitam buhitam me shishyashteham sarimam tababhanam. He says, now I'm completely confused about my duty. I've lost all composure due to weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you, please, you tell me clearly what is best for me. Now, shishyashteham, now I'm your shishya, now I'm your disciple, soul surrendered to you. You instruct me, you tell me. Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. He said, now you told me, you tell me what to do. You mold my life, you teach me. I'm bewildered, I don't know. I make my decisions, and every time I make my decisions, I find myself getting implicated. What is the value of my decisions? Therefore, I'm approaching you. You tell me what to do. That was Arjuna's position. He taught how to become free from the illusory entanglement by his perfect example. Therefore, Krishna used Arjuna as that instrument in the Bhagavad Gita. He used it to teach how the living entity must surrender, how he can surrender to the Lord, just as Arjuna surrendered to Krishna.
But someone killing his own family members.
That's not Krishna's will.
That was his will.
Huh?
That was his will.
Yes. For Arjuna.
Yeah. For Arjuna.
For Arjuna.
Yeah.
It was.
Why for him?
Because that was his duty. He was Kshatriya. He had to fight to protect.
To protect what?
He had to protect religious principles. That is his duty. He had to protect. Kshatriya means one who protects from hurt. Because of the aggressions of Duryodhana and company. Duryodhana was usurping the kingdom from the Pandavas. Every attempt was made to avoid the battle with Kshatriya. Even Krishna himself, he appeared before Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra as their messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
And appealed to them. Every attempt. Arjuna did not want to fight. Lord Krishna didn't want to. Lord Krishna also acted as Arjuna's servant, as his messenger to go, to speak to Dhritarashtra.
Yeah.
But they couldn't give it up. Why? Because they were bent. They were determined.
But there were other people also, like Bhishma Pitama and
Bhishma Dev.
Yeah. So why they were killed? If Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra and all those persons were bad, why they were killed?
Why Bhishma was killed?
Yeah, and
Bhishma wasn't. Bhishma actually had the benediction; he could leave this world.
Yeah, but two, three other persons were there, like
many of the Pandavas. I mean, the members of the Pandava dynasty. They were killed.
Yeah,
but they achieved theirs. They went back home to Pandava. That's why we have to understand the difference between the body and the self. That's what Krishna's preliminary instructions to Arjuna. They were killed, but it was Krishna's plan, ultimately. And he wanted Arjuna to be his instrument in his plan.
For how more days you are here?
In Moscow?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm supposed to leave on the 13th, but I'm changing my plans. I'm going to stay here for a few more days extra.
So like, if I want to meet you again, I can?
Certainly.
Where?
At Begavaya?
Where?
At the temple?
I don't know.
I'm going to be there. You have an address? This is the temple address. Uh-huh. That's the temple address and phone number. You can read Russian?
No.
Oh.
But I can keep it.
Yes.
I can.
Yeah. You can write it. Write it in English. You can write. Oh, I don't know write it in English. Yeah, give him direction on which.
So which is the metro station? I know where it is.
Yeah. It's right next, practically right next to the metro station. Once you get out from the metro station, you just walk a couple of hundred feet and the temple's right there.
I can ask someone. So you'll be there in the temple?
Yes, I'm going to be there. Except tomorrow we'll be here for another function during the day.
Here?
Here, yeah, well, so there's another program for tomorrow morning. It begins at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it goes from 10 to 2.
Thank you.
You should come to this function tomorrow. Very good function. Very nice
so,
function.
But I don't have any invitation cards.
You have my invitation.
I will know.
You just say Niranjana Swami invited me. There'll be no problem.
Maybe they'll stop me on the door.
Oh, they're taking tickets at the front door? Are they taking tickets at the front door?
Then it's all right. Yeah. I will certainly come.
Yeah, actually, give me the card. I'll write a little something on the card. Oh no, but it has to be written in Russian. Just write something. An invited guest from the Rajana Swami. Devotees will be there.
So basically, you are from here.
My office is. I have two offices now. My office is in Boston.
No, but by birth you're from here. I mean
Boston, near Boston.
I mean America.
Yeah.
And your name is Niranjan Swami. Yeah. So you changed it.
Yeah. About 20 years ago.
About
20 years ago.
20 years ago. And may I ask your age, if you don't mind?
How old do you think I am?
But I think it's around 27, 28.
40.
40?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like. So 20 years back...
I was 20 when I joined this movie.
You're 20 and I am 20. Doesn't matter. Anyway, thank you very much. I took a long, long time.
Oh.
But maybe tomorrow I'll take more time.
Yes, come tomorrow. Tentative. What is your name?
Ashok Chaudhary.
Ashok Chaudhary?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Okay.
Thank you.